Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Any guesses what the weather is? It's raining, nice and lightly. Oh, I just had a mosquito on my toe. All right, I'm taking the flip-flops off and I'm putting my bare feet on the bare, wet earth. Squishy, squishy. It feels good. My feet feel a little better. My foot, specifically one of my feet, is giving me a little more trouble than the other. And it was a lot better yesterday after I spent some time with a friend. I'm like, what did we do? We didn't do anything. We were just together. We were just being. We tootled around in the car, went for a coffee. For us, when we go for a coffee, that means full-size lunch sandwiches with chips in the breakfast hour. My kind of gal. After I left her yesterday, I'm like, I didn't want to jinx it, but my feet felt great. I'm like, oh my gosh. And, you know, a lot of times I look up in Louise Hay's literature what her experience, Louise Hay is Louise Hay of Hay House Publishing. I've mentioned her before. She counseled a lot of folks and she kept track of what their problems were physically and emotionally and kind of looked at her Excel sheet before there was Excel, I think, and made some cool connections. And so when I think about my feet, I think about, you know, carrying myself to what's next, the new way, moving forward with my life. And my friend is a part of the new way. That's my girls' day friend when she was like, hey, let's, you know, you want to plan a girls' trip? And I was like, what? No, no, nope. No, I did not. What did we start doing yesterday? Planning our girls' trip. I love being wrong. I love being wrong. I said that I was going to talk about crying a few episodes ago, but you know, the miracles take over and I'm like, oop, well, we're going to talk about these miracles. One being that choral concert, still a big highlight. It's Tuesday already and that was what, Saturday? And it's still kind of highlighting my existence. So what a great weekend. I did cry at the choral concert. And that's a part of my noon drum beat that I'm getting down pretty well. When it's time to cry, often I will take my glasses off. I will let the tears just fall. When I started to allow myself to cry maybe 15, 20 years ago, wow. I started doing it with my mouth open, which is very strange, but I realized I was doing a lot of clenching. A lot of, you know, tightening up. And this started probably beforehand, but I remember when my brother died and I was 9 and I was at the funeral just holding it together. You know, the night he died, I remember holding it together for my mom because she was all I had left. And I was as codependent as they come. I needed my mom to be okay so I could be okay. So I started lying and soothing and pleasing, you know, right, even more. And I certainly didn't break down at the funeral. I didn't create any more stress for her. Well, of course, that's what I was, you know, thinking. And what my subconscious was doing, you know, bite the inside of your cheek. You're fine. Just get through this. So lots of clenching. And I noticed when I would stop, you know, the habits I had to stop my tears throughout my life. And I started switching those habits. So in the very beginning, what I was doing was just releasing my jaw. You know, I would just release my jaw and let some tears stream and fall. And I did do this in the privacy of my own space in the beginning. But now, if you know me, or if you pay attention, I cry after dance class sometimes. During dance class, I see something beautiful. I let the tears come out when they're there. And it was definitely, you know, beauty at the concert, the feeling, all of us gathered there, singing together. Wow. So, I mean, and sometimes, you know, the things that, you know, I used to be full of tears. I was completely full of tears. So it didn't make any sense when I cried. It made no sense to me because I was just overflowing in anything at all that, you know, that released the waterworks, you know, it could have been a Hallmark. Very often it was like Hallmark commercial, Disney movie. But sometimes just anything. It just seemed like would set me off, would make me cry, and I didn't really understand. I had a friend who was like that as well, and she said she saw a therapist once, and the therapist said, "Your problem is not with the crying. Your problem's with not crying." I'll say it again. Your problem is not with your crying. Your problem is with your not crying. Yeah. I know a lot of people that I think they need to cry. Lots of my friends, like I have a friend who cries when she laughs. I have a friend who cries when she like gets angry. I have a friend who cries when she just settles into herself. Those were all my things as well. The first time I trained to do guided imagery, it took me months, really, it felt like, to not cry. Just the moment I dropped into myself and heard Canon in D minor, and I was just a mess. There were just buckets of tears there blocking my way. I couldn't do anything. I have all these buckets of tears, you know, constipated with buckets of tears. And water is heavy, y'all. Water is heavy. I've worked a lot with mature humans, sometimes towards the end of their ride here. And oftentimes what they don't let out and what they have clenched to keep inside comes out at the end when they're just too tired or when they're scared to die with their song inside of them or when certain parts of the brain shut down so it's not holding them back anymore. One specific woman who I totally loved, even when she was like super nasty to everybody, you know, like checking in on her was an art form. I could creep into her apartment and like look at the reflection from here, there, the other, and just make sure that she was okay. Because otherwise, if you took another step in, you would maybe get things thrown at you, you'd get screamed at. But she was my friend, and I learned how to be her friend in her crabby way. And then when it was close to her dying, she was just so sad. She was just full of tears. This nasty woman who, you know, seemed to have the most confidence and so powerful and didn't care about anything or anyone. And all of a sudden, she was just a baby crying, saying, "Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. I'm awful. I'm so sad." I was so glad that she was getting that out. And I was happy to be with her. I was happy to be with her through all those phases. And we really hooked her up because she wanted to stroll. And she was hooked on to this big, huge oxygen machine. And so we had the longest plug we could find. And we would plug in the O2 machine and she would stroll. and we'd wait till she got to the end of it. You know, like when you're vacuuming, the plug's going to come out and you just have to unplug it and then run down the hall into another room and plug it back in. I had forgotten about that until just now, and I've got a big smile. I'm very happy that I was of service in that way, lugging that big O2 machine around and plugging it into all those plugs. So my friend, who was working through a lot, she had been clenching her whole life. She needed to walk it off, and cry it out. It spills out anyway, right, from time to time. COVID happened, that tends to shake people up, things like that, and then you see what spills out. Is it anger? Is it sadness? And no matter what it is, you know, I talk about the birds that make up all the parts of ourselves. We are all the things. You know, there's the confident bird and the sad bird and the scared bird and the neurotic bird and the, right? The exhausted bird. We don't have to focus so much on, I'm so sad, I'm so sad, I'm so sad. Or I don't know what these tears are for. What we could do is we could just be there for the bird who's obviously sad or going through something. We don't have to answer any questions. We don't have to change anything. But we could be really kind to that part of ourself who's feeling something, who's working through something, who needs to walk it off, who has tears to cry. My friend yesterday had tears to cry. And I don't know if she noticed. I'll have to ask her what she thought in that moment of my reaction to her tears. I didn't try to stop them. I encouraged tears. And so what happened naturally for me was when she started to cry, I softened and lowered my gaze as to make her more comfortable, as in no eyes on you. So I lowered my gaze and softened it. I actually ended up closing my eyes. And I don't know if I put my hand over my heart, but I activated my heart and just dropped down in. And just really appreciated the tears and was glad that they were there and wanted them to cleanse my friend. And I had a few tears that were coming out myself. I was just in that moment. Honored. Honored to be in that moment. And know that crying is releasing her cortisol and like it's so good for her and for me. Olive thought it was really strange when she was little. And I was happy that she was crying. She was like, Mom, why are you happy that I am crying? I said, well, because you are sad. You are crying when you are sad. I didn't cry when I was sad. I plugged my wires into all the wrong plugs and I got them all confused. And now as an adult, I'm unplugging them and plugging them. So I'm really happy that you laugh when something is funny and that you cry when you're sad and that you run to me when you're scared. It makes me feel so good that you seem to be wired correctly. So I'm not that person that's going to tap you on the shoulder and do that kind of awkward, like the tapping on the back and the shoulder and the like, and then you like rub it in like, oh, that kind of vibe. Like I did finish that movie. I did enjoy it. I forget the name of the movie, but it's Will Ferrell and his friend Harper Steele do a road trip, and Harper transitioned. I'm not sure how recently, but somewhat recently, at least, you know, in their friendship, they had a long friendship. And, in one scene, Harper is breaking down in tears, and you can see that Will Ferrell, it's uncomfortable sometimes to have your friend in front of you crying, breaking down, you know, and you want to make it better. You feel bad. And you can see those feelings and that, and he just, you know, taps her shoulder and kind of gives that rub, like, as if to say, oh, it's okay, stop crying. It's going to be okay, you know. And it is okay. Keep crying, though. So I won't physically hug you usually if you're crying or tap you, or I'm not going to mess with it. I want you to cry. I want you to cry. I cried for a long time, a lot, to try to empty those buckets. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. I've got buckets. I've got buckets of tears. Just when I see that commercial or watch that movie or hear that song or look at that animal or look at that person or that, and I have the tears come, let them come. Cry them out. Go, Amanda. Go. And so I do. I really did empty my buckets. I still find buckets here and there. But I emptied my buckets. So now when I cry, it makes a little more sense. Usually it's because I found the truth. And I get tears. I'm trying to think of other times that I cry. Now it means something because I'm not all constipated. I'm not all backed up. I don't have all the tears that I haven't cried forever and ever, you know, around with me. So I don't know. Oh, are those my dead brother tears? I don't know. Are those divorce tears? Oh, I don't know. Is that who knows? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just release it as it comes up. Just release it. Just release it. Release it. Release it. Some tears surprised me. About a month back, I was with Will and we were checking out this really cool place. I knew it as the Dunstan, it was a schoolhouse, but then it was turned into a buffet, like a family restaurant buffet. And now it's a really cool, store, eatery. It's many things. It's really neat. So we're there. We're eating great food. We found a place that you can like go up and observe the store from like a bird's eye view. And they had great music on. It was some pretty awesome dad rock. And I thought of my Uncle Chris, who passed away almost a year ago. And I thought about, well, no, I didn't think about anything. I just had some tears. I was just kind of loving my Uncle Chris. Good food, good music. I'm close with his daughter and they shared this really cool thing that they did, and they would review like local restaurants and eateries and stuff. They were into food, and even though they weren't living close to each other in recent years, they would call with a review of something they'd experienced, either themselves or with the family or whatever. I talk about how my dad, I want to be the things that I loved about him the most. I'll carry those forward. And he answered the phone. So I'm getting better and better at answering my phone and showing up for my life. Thank you, Dad. So immediately I thought, oh, my Uncle Chris, like what would I like to carry forward, you know? Good morning, neighbor. And I thought, oh, duh, like here I am. I need to text my cousin. I need to message her this review. And I did. She heard the dad rock. She saw my tears. She knew where this was all coming from. And I gave her the review, which was great, by the way. Go to On the Vine in Scarborough. And she really, really appreciated the review. It was the tears. It was the tears, you know? I'm emotional, I'm empathetic, I'm clueful and loving. And so it's not unusual for me to think of my family and people and send a message and all of that stuff. But since I've cried my tear buckets out, the big, huge collection I had for decades anyway, I dropped it. I got rid of it. When the tears come now, I'm like, oh, what's this? Is this the truth? What is this a call to? It was a call to Chris last month and to his daughter. And I'm glad that I was around for it and recognized that those just aren't those tears that I cry all the time because I cry all the time. Oh, these are for my uncle and my cousin. And I listened, and I moved forward in my day, being guided by those tears. Here comes the train. So I want you to cry, all right? Your call to action is to cry. The next time you're clenching to stop the tears, I want you to unclench. I want you to relax your jaw, whatever it is. And I want you to cry. Cry until you're done. Have you ever gotten to like sleep until you're done? Isn't it great? To sleep until you're done. Cry until you're done. Cry until you're done. If you feel like you're falling apart, I want you to switch it, and I want you to think of yourself as falling open. You know, you're a flower that's been blooming this whole time, but we just get scared and we clench. Right? Like my first birth story, I was like, ooh, I'm just going to keep a little bit closed here and I need to control the timing. So we've been clenched and trying to control the timing. Well, time marches on, people. Unclench. You're blooming whether you like it or not. So fall open. Here comes the breeze and the train. Are you hearing this? Shout it to my whole neighborhood. Here it is. Here's the train whistling in a new way. All right? How is it raining and I'm not really getting wet? It's a magical day. Maybe all this rain is around until you cry. Maybe this rain is here to get you in the mood, to get you going, to get you started. Aren't you tired yet? Cry out the buckets. Fall open with me. Check back tomorrow, will you? Love you.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.